Welcome, Curious Minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're diving into a stack of sources that really shine a light on some incredibly intense global events. Our mission, like always, is to kind of cut through the noise, get you those essential nuggets of knowledge, a shortcut to being well-informed, basically.
Yes.
We're going to get into the ongoing conflict between Israel and Gaza. Specifically, we'll be looking at public statements and actions tied to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The material we've got here, it paints a picture of, well, some pretty stark contradictions.
Yeah, what's really fascinating right off the bat is how these sources highlight this core tension. You have a leader vocally condemning one side's actions, you know, but then that's put right next to claims about their own conduct. We'll be exploring the specifics the documents bring up and, importantly, the humanitarian toll, as they describe it. It's quite severe.
Okay, let's unpack this first part. Our sources kick off detailing these recent missile strikes attributed to Iran, targeting Israeli infrastructure. We're talking hospitals, residential buildings. How did Prime Minister Netanyahu respond to those attacks, according to these accounts?
Well, the sources indicate a very, very strong response. Netanyahu vocally condemned them, framing them as Iranian barbarism and terrorism. That's the quote used. He specifically emphasized the targeting of innocent civilians, including infants and children in hospital wards, really highlighting that aspect.
So, stepping back, what does this mean for his broader narrative? How do the sources interpret that kind of rhetoric?
Well, the analysis in these materials suggests this rhetoric aims to portray Israel as, you know, the victim of Iranian aggression, a nation under siege. Netanyahu warns about Iran's nuclear ambitions, painting Iran as an arch-terrorist regime bent on wiping Israel off the map with nuclear weapons. Okay. The narrative, the sources argue, is really designed to rally support, both at home and internationally, for Israel's military actions and to justify, well, pretty aggressive responses.
Right. You can see how that narrative is built. But here's where it gets really interesting, like you said. The sources immediately contrast Netanyahu's outrage with Israel's own conduct in Gaza as they document it. What do these materials tell us about Israel's actions on the ground there?
Yeah, it's described as a very different story. That's the phrasing used. The sources state that Israel has launched repeated bombing campaigns against Gaza, targeting hospitals, universities, churches, mosques, and residential areas. Mm. The destruction is characterized as widespread and devastating, just massive damage.
And the sources bring up that incident at Al-Shifa Hospital, pretty infamous. Can you elaborate on what the documents say happened there?
Yeah.
How is it presented?
Right, Al-Shifa. According to the sources, Israel initially tried to justify bombing it by claiming underground bunkers and Hamas military infrastructure beneath the hospital. They circulated animated videos, testimonies, that sort of thing. However, the sources then present investigations, eyewitness accounts. These revealed that while, yes, tunnels and bunkers exist in Gaza, the hospital was primarily civilian. And the scale of the military infrastructure, vastly exaggerated according to these accounts. So the sources claim Israel's justification quickly eroded, and they conclude that the bombing of hospitals became a stark reality, calling it emblematic of an ethnic cleansing campaign aimed at Gaza's civilian population.
Wow, that's a very strong term used in the sources, ethnic cleansing. How do they justify using such a loaded phrase?
They connect it to the described pattern, the systematic and widespread nature of the targeting. Not just hospitals, but universities, places of worship, homes. The argument presented is that the scale and nature of destruction suggest an intent beyond just military objectives, possibly aiming to make Gaza uninhabitable or displace people. That's the reasoning laid out.
Okay, I see the connection they're making. So this suggests a systematic approach then. What other civilian targets were reportedly hit based on these documents?
Exactly. The pattern is emphasized. It wasn't isolated. Universities, churches, mosques, homes, they've been systematically targeted, as the sources put it, all leading to what's consistently described across these documents as a humanitarian disaster.
So let's talk about that disaster. What are the direct consequences for civilians in Gaza, according to these sources? The immediate impact?
It's dire. The sources paint a really grim picture. They cite UNICEF reports, for instance. One states that only 40% of drinking water production facilities in Gaza remain operational. That leads to what UNICEF itself calls a man-made drought. And malnutrition among young children 6 months to 5 years old reportedly surged by 50%. That's a huge jump.
A man-made drought. And the sources even include details about people just trying to get basic aid.
Yes, very specific and frankly disturbing details. Recent reports mentioned state that at least 25 people were killed by Israeli fire while seeking humanitarian aid. Huh? Described as civilians desperate for basic necessities caught in the crossfire. It really underscores the desperation and danger.
It's hard to even imagine. Beyond the physical harm and lack of resources, what about the psychological side? The social impact?
That's heavily emphasized too. Profound psychological trauma, children who've known nothing but war, instability, and loss. Families torn apart, the social fabric is fraying, as one source puts it. And the targeting of hospitals and schools isn't just seen as a military tactic in these analyses, it's described as an assault on the future of Gaza's society.
Okay, let's try and connect these points now. The word hypocrisy pops up quite a bit in these sources when they discuss Netanyahu's narrative. How do they actually illustrate that? What's the argument?
Well, the argument they make is that Netanyahu's complaints about, say, Iranian missiles hitting Israeli hospitals, they fall flat when you put them side by side with Israel's own documented attacks on Gaza's medical facilities. Repeated attacks, often described as indiscriminate, they point out, you know, while Netanyahu emphasizes attacks on children's wards in Israel, the sources document that Israel's bombing campaigns have killed and injured countless Palestinian children in Gaza, many in medical facilities. So it's that direct comparison.
And what about the claims of military necessity? Leaders often justify actions that way, right? How do the sources handle that, especially for places like Al-Shifa?
Right. Military necessity is the common justification. Israel states it's targeting Hamas infrastructure. But these documents present evidence suggesting that many of the bomb sites were civilian. They explicitly list schools, churches, hospitals. Furthermore, the analysis accuses Netanyahu of, well, either ignoring or downplaying the man-made humanitarian disaster in Gaza, suggesting a kind of disconnect between the stated military aims and the actual human cost on the ground.
Hmm. And the sources also weave the nuclear threat into this discussion. How does Netanyahu's rhetoric about Iran's nuclear plans fit into this alleged hypocrisy?
That's another layer, yeah. Netanyahu frequently warns of Iran's nuclear ambitions, as the reports detail, portraying Iran as this existential global threat, you know, the regime that wants to wipe Israel off the map with nukes. However, the analysis suggests this is often intertwined with exaggerated claims and fear-mongering. And the tension they highlight is that, well, Netanyahu himself has not shied away from the specter of nuclear weapons, unquote. They point to Israel being widely believed to have its own undeclared nuclear arsenal, which, they argue, suggests double standards at play in the context of a wider, dangerous nuclear arms race.
So putting all this together, what's the conclusion of these sources regarding accountability and the role of the international community?
The sources are pretty emphatic here. They stress the essential need to call out the hypocrisy, as they see it, of leaders like Netanyahu, and to demand accountability for actions violating international law and human rights. They state very clearly that bombing hospitals, civilian infrastructure, it cannot be justified under any circumstances.
And how do they suggest the international community should step in or respond to this call for justice?
The argument presented is that true justice requires an honest reckoning with the facts on the ground, looking at everything, and holding all parties accountable for war crimes and crimes against humanity. Not just one side. They also express concern that countries or organizations supporting Israel's military actions without question might actually be contributing to the violence and suffering. So the call is for a balanced, principled approach, one that really respects human rights and international law. They say it's urgently needed.
Well, this deep dive has certainly shown us how complex these conflict narratives can be. You really see these stark contrasts between the rhetoric, the public statements, and the documented reality on the ground. The source material really pushes you to look beyond just the official positions and examine the impacts, right?
It really does. It encourages you, I think, to consider how consistent our standards are, you know, for all actors in a conflict, especially when it comes to protecting civilians, protecting essential places like hospitals. These reports definitely make you question how much can get obscured by powerful political narratives and maybe selective presentation of facts.
Absolutely. So as you listening, reflect on all this, maybe consider, what are the real-world consequences when a leader's words and their documented actions seem to diverge so dramatically? And maybe, what role do you think the global community truly has in trying to bridge that gap? It's definitely a thought worth holding on to long after this deep dive.